Coming up on KUCB News, the Coast Guard says it's making progress in a death investigation centered in Unalaska. And the state university system says the governor's budget veto will hurt all students, all staff, and many programs. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019. The U.S. Coast Guard has completed its investigation into the January death of a crew member of the cutter Douglas Monroe. 19-year-old seaman Ethan Kelch died in Unalaska while the vessel was in port for repairs. The Virginia man went missing while off duty and was later found unresponsive on the, quote, west side of Mackinac Island. Coast Guard officials told KUCB yesterday that the agency's investigators have concluded their five-month inquiry into Kelch's death and are now conducting a legal review, which is projected to take at least a month. Officials have declined to say whether they suspect foul play, but they do expect to release their findings after the review. Red salmon are starting to show up at Summer Bay and Morris Cove, though Unalaska's summer fishing is still considered to be pretty slow. That's according to the latest local sport fishing reports compiled by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. They say those road system sockeye runs are just now starting up, while the Whistler run appears to be mediocre, with no weir to collect specific data this year on its strength or timing. The department's also had just a few reports of king salmon, halibut, and tanner crab. Meanwhile, commercial fishing has begun in the Dutch Harbor herring fishery, which largely provides bait for Bering Sea crabbers. This summer's total herring quota is 2,027 tons for the Unalaska, Akutan, and Unimak districts. They're all scheduled to stay open for fishing until noon tomorrow. Governor Mike Dunleavy has vetoed 182 line items in Alaska's budget, cutting a total of nearly $400 million in state spending. Included in that list is a $130 million reduction in support for the University of Alaska system. That's additional to a $5 million cut already approved by state lawmakers, and combined, they reduce support for the university system by 41% compared to the last fiscal year. Dunleavy says he has faith that university leaders will be able to work through the loss.
And I believe that they can turn the University of Alaska into, if not the finest university of the Arctic, in a few select areas. I don't think they can be all things to all people. And I think that's, generally speaking, the state of Alaska. We can't continue to be all things for all people.
The reduction in state support will immediately impact university operations as the new fiscal year started yesterday. UA officials say if the veto sticks, more than 1,300 staff and faculty will lose their jobs. At a special budget meeting on Friday, University President Jim Johnson described the cut as devastating, irrational, and far outside what administrators had prepared to accommodate.
This budget will impact everything we do in every location where we operate, every student, every faculty member that we employ, every staff person that we employ. We were estimating a $30 million cut, a $40 million cut, a $50 million cut, and a $60 million cut. While severe, these were manageable. The cut is more than twice the most extreme cut that we anticipated.
To deal with the cut, Johnson says the university system has instituted hiring and travel freezes, has started canceling contracts with vendors, and has distributed furlough notices to all staff. He also says UA is stepping up its advocacy to encourage legislators to override the governor's veto. If that does not happen, officials say UAA will likely have to close several programs. Dunleavy's vetoes are expected to hit a wide range of programs all across the state, from Medicaid and senior benefits to debt reimbursement for both municipal governments and school districts. We'll bring you more reporting tomorrow on some of those major cuts. But one program that has been spared by the governor's red pen is the Alaska Marine Highway System. As it stands now, the state ferry service will receive the $46 million appropriated by the legislature. But as KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, coastal communities are still worried about the effects of reduced funding.
Senator Jesse Keel represents Juneau, Haines, and Skagway, plus a number of smaller coastal communities like Gustavus in the state legislature. He says the amount of funding appropriated by the legislature for the Alaska Marine Highway System, or AMHS, is the bare minimum required to keep it running.
I'm glad the governor didn't cut below that. I think we will already feel economic pain in coastal Alaska from what the legislature did with the Marine Highway budget.
This year's funding is about half as much as last year's, but it could have been even less. Earlier this year, the governor had proposed a 75% cut to the ferry system. Due to uncertainty over its budget, AMHS stopped taking reservations past September. Robert Venables is the executive director of Southeast Conference and chairs the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. He says although the funding passed by the legislature is lower than what he hoped for, the Department of Transportation has more certainty about the level of ferry service it can provide.
Now that there is a budget number, the department can go ahead and put together and release the draft winter, fall, spring ferry schedule, which is hugely important.
When asked if there are ways to increase revenue for the ferry system, Venables said that the options are limited.
The way that the Marine Highway System is set up now really does not empower it to control its costs or even raise other revenue streams outside of, the fare box, which has been increased year after year after year.
Venables says it is too early to tell exactly how service will be affected by this year's budget cut. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata says that uncertainty over the Alaska Marine Highway has prompted his community to explore its options.
We don't ultimately know what the status of the ferry will be next year or the following year. So, we're taking steps here in Skagway to at least identify alternatives if the funding is further slashed.
Recently, the municipality of Skagway contracted the McDowell Group, a consulting and research firm, to carry out a study examining the potential to develop a locally governed ferry authority. The study is expected to be completed within the next 3 months. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
A reminder, KUCB is taking a hiatus from local newscasts starting on Monday, July 8th. We'll be using the four-week break to overhaul our studio, replace our automation system, and train our new reporter. Unfortunately, the hiatus means we'll also have to take a break from our ongoing series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. This month, we won't have a big profile of one of our former reporters, but we will use this week before the hiatus to share some quick archival stories by a few of our former temporary reporters, the people who helped to fill in during staffing shortages and whose voices you may remember if you have a good ear. Today we're re-airing a story by Jacob Resnick, who filled in during the summer of 2011. This report is about a cruise ship visit and the state of Unalaska's tourism at that time.
I was a bald eagle just sitting beautifully on the
77 Australians decked out in matching red parkas were not inconspicuous as they spent the day touring cultural and historic sites around Unalaska. The passengers were from the 289-foot Orion II, a 50-suite cruise ship docked at Dutch Harbor, and they're on their way to Petropavlovsk on Russia's Kamchatka Peninsula. The passengers split into groups and toured museums, went bird-watching, and stopped at the Russian Orthodox Cathedral. Among them was passenger Rob Tuckett from the east coast town of Byron Bay. He said the group started in Vancouver, B.C.
We all flew over from Australia, got on board, and we've been wending our way up for the last 2 weeks, through all the icebergs and the glaciers and whatever. Been to Geographic Harbour, Kodiak. We're here for a day, and then we just work our way down the Aleutians and then across to Petropavlovsk. That's the one. in Russia, and then do the Kuril Islands for a week, across to Sakhalin Island, Korsakov, and then down to Sapporo in Japan.
Inside the cathedral, the group is treated to an exhaustive tour by Sharon Svarni Livingston.
So, I'm going to be your tour guide. My name is Sharon, And my little helper is my grandson, Scott.
She sketched the history of the Russian colonial period up to modern day and shows off some of the cathedral's unique treasures.
This great big long one above the iconostasis that spans the width of this room was a gift from the last Tsar of Russia, Nicholas. And he gave it to us sometime between 1910 and 1917.
Cruise ship landings in Unalaska are limited to only a few a year and have been on the decline, says Elisa Sensky, the executive director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. This year, the Orion 2 is one of only three scheduled for the year.
That's a very light number. I've been doing this for 3 years now. My first summer I had 14, last year I had 4, and this year only 3.
But she says she recently received word from the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference that there may be a new line interested in Unalaska.
I just actually, Swampsea, a representative, contacted me. There is a smaller cruise ship line looking to tap into the Alaska market, into our quaint little city, so we fit the profile. And so next year, it looks like 2012 and 2013, we'll start building the number of cruise ships again.
It's challenging to bring cruise ships to the port of Dutch Harbor. That's not only because of the limited organized activities for cruise ship passengers, but also the high cost of doing business in the Aleutians.
It's tough for us because a lot of vessels, they'll call and they'll say, okay, well, this is what we want. Give me a quote. Well, I'll give them their quote. And I had a woman tell me that we are more expensive than Tokyo, the most expensive city in the world.
The economic impact to the community is limited, but Sensky says there's value in bringing visitors here who will spread the word to others that Unalaska Dutch Harbor is a worthwhile place to visit.
We don't make a lot of money off a cruise ship, but just enough to, pay our venues, pay our transportation, and just show them what we have to offer.
The tour wrapped up with visits to the World War II Museum and the Museum of the Aleutians. The visit also gave passengers their last chance to do some shopping in the United States before heading for Russia in what's scheduled to be a 24-night voyage across the North Pacific from Canada to Japan. In Unalaska, I'm Jacob Resnick.
That was a 2011 story by Jacob Resnick, one of KUCB's former temporary reporters. He now works in Juneau as the news director for the Coast Alaska Radio Collaborative. Tune in tomorrow when we'll re-air another archival story as part of our year-long series celebrating the 20th anniversary of KUCB's newsroom. And that is the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.